I think that would be really sad if we missed the glory. All these years that God has been faithful to us and teaching us how to follow after Him and hear His voice, and then we missed His glory. I'll admit, I'm sure that there's times where we miss His leading at times, but when the outpouring of His Spirit upon us as a body and individually, it would be really, I would go home and say, wow, what did I do wrong? I must have put my shoes on backwards or something to miss His glory today, because it's in this place. It's strong, it's powerful, it's mighty. And every chair that you're sitting in has got a residue of His presence, and you will never be the same again after today. Your lives are going to be so changed for the better because of today. This is Father's Day. And I just have a scripture concerning Father's Day, and I'd really like to find it. And you'd like to hear it. Oh, my goodness gracious. Rick, what are you doing? Ah, 2 Thessalonians, that's got to be it. Ah, yes. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Some of us didn't have a very good representation of a father. And myself, in that picture, when I got saved, suddenly I knew that I had a father that is unlike any father that we could have. And there are wonderful, wonderful examples of really good fathers. But I'm learning to, and still growing in that. And being a grandfather now, that's really cool. That's when you get the gray hair and that's your crown. So Simone, you and I should be rejoicing today, because, you know, we got a crown already. We got a head start on some of you with a crown. But to have a father, that's relationship. And so many times people confuse religion with Christianity. Religion is what man has done to try to reach God, but Christianity is what God has done to reach us. And He came to us as a father, not as a taskmaster, not as one who, you missed it, boy. No, not anymore. You have a father that loves you with an everlasting love. And He's the one who comforts us, because He can relate to sorrows. He's a man acquainted with sorrows and carried our griefs. Opening scripture from Joshua, Yeshua. Joshua chapter 1. It's interesting how Joshua came to this place. He was fifth in the generation from Abraham, and God had made the boundaries of the land of Israel were going to be given to Abraham, and that promise kept coming down through generations. And it finally got to be Joshua's turn, but before Moses died, he brought what was left of the Israelites that didn't perish in the wilderness. And spies were sent into the land to spy out the land. There were 12. And the report came back, and 10 of them, their report wasn't so good. They came back with the bad news that there were giants in the land and that they would squash the Israelites like grasshoppers. But Joshua and Caleb came back with a very different report. Their report was, with God, we will squash them and defeat them. And they had no qualms about it at all, because out of the 12, Joshua and Caleb were the two that God raised up as Moses' successors to actually cross into the boundaries of the land that God had promised Abraham hundreds and hundreds of years before. And so, chapter 1, has a lot of word here pertaining to passing the word on that God gave Moses. He passed it on to Joshua as well. But I'm going to read 8 and 9, and then we're going to go back to verse 3. Because Joshua and Caleb had what I would call a very prophetic mission. Is very similar to our salvation experience when Joshua came out of Egypt. It's like being born again. You come out of captivity. You come out of Egypt and into the promised land. But these are some words that the Lord imparted to Joshua. This book of the law, you have to remember, they didn't have the Old Testament yet. It wasn't yet written. It wasn't yet spoken. But they had what they had, and I believe it was the first five books of what we call the Old Testament now. But he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. In other words, whatever you speak, don't be caught speaking anything contrary to these words, because what I've put into you are words of life. So as you come into this land, don't negate my promises by telling me how big the giants are and you can't do these things. He said, don't let those words depart out of your mouth. Keep the word. But you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Now, those are some really good promises concerning the word. Because I'm kind of trying to do this on two levels. One, Joshua under the old covenant and the promises that God made him. The principles, the spiritual principles, are exactly the same for the body of Christ. God has given us the word. We have both the old and the new. We have the word of God. So wherever we go, Peggy, your new home, wherever it may be, any of us that may move away from here one day, I don't know where we all will end up, but one day, we don't want to negate the word that's in our hearts. We're in a good, fertile ground where the word is sown every week. We're word people, and that word is like a seed. And I liked what Charles Capp said on that video Gary was talking about. The seed makes the earth bow its knee to the will of the seed, not the other way around. You see, dirt is just dirt, but you put a seed in it, and the seed is going to cause what the earth provides, but the seed is in charge. And the Word of God is in charge of your life when it's planted in you. It has all the potential of everything you'll ever become. It's all in the seed. And the earth is your heart, so it's got to have good quality. You know, good soil. And Carol, you and Tom are planting and carrying on, and you know about the soil, but you also know about the seed. And so with Joshua, he had something good to start with. He had the word of God. And God said, when you come into this land, you take that word that I've given you and let that come out of your mouth. Don't be caught running around like the others, the other 10 doubters, and poo-poo that word. This is a word of life for you, Joshua, and you're going to need it. There really are giants in the land, but you're going to be able to overcome them. And he told him what you could do. Meditate day and night. Well, I did some studies on Eastern religion before I went into Eastern Europe on some missions trips, and New Age theology was being taught then. And did you encounter some of that, Don? They did a lot of meditation, but it wasn't meditating on the word. It was meditating by chance, calling upon demonic spirits, and any other thing that would speak to them through meditation, and they would calm the spirit, and they would empty their minds, and that's really dangerous to have an empty mind because the enemy has prime sowing ground. So if you're going to meditate, meditate on life. Meditate on the word. Mull it over. Think about it. Get it down in your spirit. Because you may find yourself without your handy sword by your side. It's got to be in your heart. And when you speak, words of life come out. If you meditate on the word, it becomes a part of who you are as a believer. And the Lord was trying to instill that principle to Joshua. And he said, so if Joshua were to say, well, Lord, why do I need to meditate day and night? I got to sleep sometime. Well, did you ever get woken up in the night and couldn't go back to sleep? That's a good time to start thinking about Scripture. The devil will make sure he knocks you out. Before you memorize one verse, you'll sleep nicely the rest of the night. So you can meditate day and night on the word. Think about it. That why? That you may observe to do according to all that's written therein. The book of James says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. If we take the word and we apply it and we walk it out, it's going to be fruitful, and it's going to cause us to be fruitful as well. And observe to do according to all that's written, and then you shall make your way prosperous. Prosperous isn't just a pocket full of money. Prosperous is having the things that God has provided, possessing them. It's one thing to believe, it's another to possess. That's maybe a new concept to some of you. Things may be available and you believe they're there, but until you take possession of it, as an example, I have this book by John Osteen. And I could say, this is a really good book. And John Osteen was Joel Osteen's father. And I could show it to you. And isn't that pretty? Nice picture of his dad on the back. And you could say, yeah, I believe that's a good book. But when you take it, that's different. Whoops. Better watch where I'm walking. See, now it's yours. And it's the same with God's promises. You can pick up your Bible and read His promises all the time. But until you make a heart choice to take possession of that word, it won't do anything for your life until you take possession of that. Because what you're doing is now you're taking that seed and you're going to plant it on the fertile ground of a good heart, and it's going to grow and it's going to produce after its own kind. That's God's creation. Everything that He created is seed, faith, and harvest time. Every seed that God plants grows. And it's a perfect seed. And so Joshua had everything that he needed. He and Caleb and what was left of the ragtag army of the Israelites. But they had their testimonies too. And then he says to Joshua in verse 9, have not I commanded you? I didn't just suggest last Tuesday morning that you be strong. No, I commanded you to be strong. Joshua, be strong. Why would he do that? Because God empowered him. God enabled him. God gave him the word to win, to be prosperous and have good success. That's like trying to figure out why the engine light was on in your car. You probably wished you'd have had all your tools at home. You'd have done an investigation before you called the wrecker. I don't know. I would have. But you weren't prepared for that in that sense. But yet God found another way to get you home, and your car will be taken care of. But when he commanded him, be strong and be of good courage. They were with the other 10 that saw all the giants. Oh, Tom, it would be like taking some of our finicky friends to India with us. Well, I don't know how you do that. Because we know what God is capable of doing. We're eyewitnesses. Joshua and Caleb were eyewitnesses to so many miracles that God did and performed for the Israelites, and many of them, they just totally blew it off. They thought Moses had been out in the desert too long. Why should we listen to this guy? His brain's all baked now. Now he's telling us we're going to keep going. But Joshua and Caleb had the same visions, the same eyewitness accounts as the other 10 did. Why did the 10 chicken out? When the going got tough, but the other two pressed in. See, they all had the same. And you'll have good success. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, and neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Everywhere you go, Joshua and Caleb, I'm going to be with you. If you got a problem with giants, I know how to deal with giants. If you got a problem with whatever you have need of, I'm your God, I'm your Father. I will make full provision for you. Now just be free to go and do what I've called you to do, and I will see to it that it's done. But you have to trust me. The words that I'm speaking to you, you've got to take those to heart, because you can be just as afraid as the other 10, or you can be courageous and bold and let me fight your battles for you. And then in verse 3, I kind of went backwards a little bit for this specific reason. Listen to this promise in verse 3 that he spoke. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. The very same promise. Moses, wherever you walk, wherever you put your foot, I've given you that land. And the Lord says to you today, wherever you put your foot, wherever you walk, wherever you go, that's the land that I've given you. I have given that to you as your possession. That's powerful. And how the Holy Spirit wasn't even indwelling them yet, but yet the Spirit of God was leading them. And we also not only are led by the Spirit, He dwells within us. And how much more can we be courageous? How much more can we be strong? How much more can we be all that God has called us to be individually and as a body? How much more can we accomplish with the mighty power of His Spirit dwelling in us than we can on our own? Joshua is a good, really, really good book if you want to read a book about overcomers and being more than conquerors. But Joshua and the Promised Land is such a beautiful parable of the kingdom of God and being born again. Just as Joshua took up where Moses left off, Jesus took up and introduced the kingdom of God, and the two walked together. In fact, actually, a little side note, the very name Joshua, the Hebrew form of Jesus, means Jehovah is salvation. The redemptive history of Israel entering and possessing Canaan illustrates the Christian's spiritual experience of conflict, victory, and blessing through the power of God. In Hebrews chapter 4, the rest in Canaan is typical of our spiritual rest in the finished work of Christ and His intercession to enable us to conquer self and Satan. It's such a wonderful parallel. So you can be Joshua's in your home. You can be Joshua's in your town. You can have that Joshua spirit. It's a spirit of overcoming and knowing who your Father is. And this is Father's Day, so this might be the message for today, as it is Father's Day, and we haven't even had the rest of the music yet. We haven't had our missions offering yet, so we got to do this, because it's huggy break, too. A lot of stuff to happen. So if you're in a hurry, slow down.